Good morning, sir. Would you state your name and your ADC number for the record, sir?
My name is Camilo Espinosa, 273160.
Good morning, sir, and you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Supremacy for your revocation hearing regarding the one allegation on your warrant. And based upon information that we have this morning, you were notified of this hearing back on November 17, 2017. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Oh, when they gave me the notification, yes.
Yes, sir. The hearing will be held today. Yes, sir. You remember signing that?
Yes.
Okay, sir. And on mail, my other thing, you stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. Therefore, may I assume that you're going to represent yourself this morning, sir?
Okay,
Mr. Are you going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board, as board chairman, I've approved a two-member panel. Therefore, there will be two board members participating in your hearing. And they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your board panel chair. We also have in the room, as you can see now, is Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Mr. Espinosa and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I swear.
I do.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to read the one allegation on your warrant, sir. I'm going to give you three options. You can tell me whether it's true, false, or whether you want to plead the fifth, that you don't want to talk about it. The reason we give you that last option is that we do take note that you have a DR number listed on the warrant, and we don't know at this particular moment whether it has been resolved or not. But if it has not been resolved and you have to go to court, this hearing is being recorded, and the prosecutor or your defense attorney can receive a copy of this recording. Therefore, once again, I'm going to read it, and would you tell me whether it's true, false, or do you plead the fifth, sir? Do you understand, sir?
Yes.
Okay, sir. And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your hidden the house manager of the Paxson House in the face on or about November 1, 2017. Sir, is that true, false, or do you plead the fifth, sir?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, thank you, sir. Inasmuch as you pleaded the fifth, we're going to get some testimony on that allegation that's coming from the Department of Corrections, and we'll be back to talk with you in just a few moments, sir. Mr. Westby, would you give us some testimony as it relates to allegation number one and the follow-up? Mr. Westby, sir.
Yes, sir. On November 1st, 2017, Jeannie Pike, owner of Offenders and Replacement Paxson House, called P.O. Reed to report the offender had physically assaulted the house manager of the halfway house. The victim reported to P.O. Weed that the offender had returned to the halfway house at 4 a.m. and began arguing with the victim. The victim stated the offender wanted to borrow his phone, and the victim would not allow the offender to use his phone. The victim stated the offender punched him in the face and gave him a bloody nose. The victim stated he also received scratches and bruises on his right arm from the offender. Jeannie Pike reported she went to the halfway house at 5:30 in the morning, but the offender was not there. She stated she observed the victim's bloody nose and the scratches and bruises on his arm. Police were not called as the offender had left the property. On November 1st, 2017, the offender reported to the Tucson Parole Office. His violation was staffed with Senior Parole Officer Victor Settles, and it was decided that the offender would be returned to custody. The offender was arrested in office and transported to ASPC Tucson without incident.
Thank you so very much. Sir, after this, we will not refer back to that incident or that allegation. But so at this time, based upon the information contained in warrant number 2017W3698 and information provided by the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Espinosa did violate the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
So you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision, but now we're going into phase two of your hearing. Now in phase two, the board is going to make a determination whether to continue your community supervision or to revoke your community supervision. Again, we're going to get some information, some background information on you from the Department of Corrections, and after that, then you and I and Mr. Neal will talk. So at this time, Mr. Westby, can we get some background information on Mr. Espinosa?
Yes, sir. Mr. Espinosa was released from DOC on September 22nd, 2017. He was arrested November 1st, 2017 by DOC. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody November 1st, 2017 with a CSED of October 16th, 2018, zero abscond days. His current conviction, 2012, robbery, two counts, each for 7.5 years. There are no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 1. Gang information notes, he is a member of Barrio Loco SOAR, criminal street gang. There are no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary is moderate with disorderly conduct and possession of a weapon. Other arrest, 2008, marijuana violation. Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G3B4, and I have status of charges from Senior Parole Officer Stephanie Erickson, dated November 30th, 2017, that states, the offender was arrested in office because he insulted the house manager at Paxton House. There were no charges filed.
Thank you so very much. Okay, no charges was filed, but despite that, because you took the fifth, we will not talk about that incident at all, but we will talk to you about other things that it dealt with your being a part of the criminal justice system, sir. We do take note that where this incident took place, that was where you were residing, and not going to ask you anything else about that. We do take note that you did have some employment. Where were you employed when you were released, sir?
Well, I had two jobs. I was working as a day laborer for the Paxton House as the, what's it called, the director. She had like houses that they do remodeling on, and they asked me if I wanted to work, so I went with them. And I worked them. I worked with them on daily jobs around the city. And then after that, after it was seasonal though, and after that, I went to go look for another job. Oregano's. It's on Speedway and Swan. I was working as a dishwasher.
Okay. So how long were you there? How long were you there at that second job, sir?
At that second job? Oh, I just had started it in October. Just right after the first job told me that I couldn't, that it was going to get slow.
Okay, that's okay, because I don't want to get back to that first job at all, sir.
Okay,
now what other skills do you have? You said you were a dishwasher there at the
dishwasher,
at the restaurant. So do you have any other skills, sir?
Well, I applied for online college at AIU. I was going to try to get my bachelor's for, I wanted to own my own business and start my own a record label. I was just going to start that recently, but due to my incarceration, I was halted on that. I prep. I've been in the food industry for a lot of years, so I have a lot of experience on that. I was planning to go to this other restaurant called Sprouts, or there's a grocery store, and I was planning to cut meat. I was planning to be a meat cutter over there, and I was working on getting my kids back. I was saving my money. I was saving all my money prior to the, I know I pleaded the fifth, but I mean, I wanted to tell my side of this story.
No, sir, you can't do it because you pleaded the fifth. That's just where we are because the policies that we have, we can't talk about it unless you plead the fifth.
I can't talk about it.
I'm sorry about that, but I do want to commend you for one to be a meat cutter because that's a skill that's always that's needed, and because there are some people like myself who will always be eating meats, and there will be others who won't. So, but you will always have a job as long as I'm living because I'm going to get some of your food, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I do take note that you were assigned, referred rather, to the CAP program, and that you did attend a couple of sessions, and then you missed one on October the 23rd. So how was that program working out when you did attend the two that you attended, the CAP program, sir? How did that work out for you?
On that day that it says I'm absent, I did show up, but the only thing that I did wrong was I didn't bring my material, which was a book that they require you to have. So they said, like, since I didn't bring that book, they have to count me as absent. But I did call my PO as soon as I stayed, and I stayed at that session. I did call my PO and tell her, hey, I don't have the book, but the person that's doing the session told me that, you know what I mean, it's going to be counted absent, but I'm going to stay at this meeting until it's over, and, you know what I mean, next week I'll be more prepared. I'll bring my book. I had it in my backpack, so I liked it, you know what I mean? It was more skills that I seen that I was missing and I was willing to gain.
Okay, sir. Now, I do take note that while you were out that you attended the AA, Alcohol Anonymous meetings. In the past, that you had any problems with alcohol or drugs? Have you used any of those in the past, sir?
In the past, yeah. And like when I was younger, not no more. Like I'm really respect myself. I know there's a brain is a terrible thing to waste, and I love myself, so I try to keep healthy. I work out. Even out there, I was working out. I was trying to keep healthy and stay away from the negativity.
And I do take note that you did submit a UA and that it turned out to be negative. Now, when you back in 2012, when you committed these robberies, did that have anything to do with drinking, alcohol, or drug use, or anything like that when you committed those offenses, sir?
Yes, sir. I mean, I was under the influence of a lot of negativity. I didn't really care about my future. I was real negative on everything about my whole aspect. I didn't see myself going anywhere in the future, but now that I'm clear-minded and I know that I got a future, that I want to create a legacy for my kids. That's what I was working hard for, and I was saving my money. I was working hard, and this is what led up to it. You know what I mean? Somebody stole money from me, and this, well, like you said, I can't speak about it, but...
Okay, well, we're sorry that someone stole money from you, sir. What kind of support system do you have out there in the community, sir? I mean, do you have any relatives?
I have CPS, I have my lawyer, I have a lot of friends, my girlfriend, my baby's mama, I have my mom, I have my sister, I have many friends, though, the positive friends, though, and then my employment, my boss, he was rooting for me. There was a lot of people rooting for me. So, I mean, I want to be an abiding citizen, and that's why I took the responsibility of owning up to my actions and turning myself in, not going on a run, and I want to do good.
It's not a requirement, but why didn't you invite any of your supporters to come to be present today, sir, to speak on your behalf or send letters or whatever so that the board would have something about you, sir?
Yes, sir, I understand that. I grew up in CPS. I grew up from the age of 7. I grew up in CPS. I've always been on my own. I've always been... I have moved to Tucson like 7 years, or like, no, like probably 9 years ago on myself, and I met my baby's mama. Since I've been back incarcerated, I haven't been able to get a hold of anybody because I haven't had no money. But I've been writing letters, and I told my caseworker, which is my, for my kids, I told her of this hearing, and to email my PO. I don't know if she did it, or of all the good things that I've done with her also.
Let me just ask one other question, and that is, if this boy saw fit to release you, where would you reside? What would you do, sir?
Where would I reside?
Yes, sir.
To another halfway house. I would reside to another halfway house and get back to my employment. I still have a job out there. My boss, I left with him on a good note. I contacted him since I've been in here, and he says, you got a job with me. You could come back here. I have no problems with you coming back. And I'll continue my programs with the PO, and I'll be honest with you guys. And I will not engage in no violent acts. I recognize that I need to take critical thinking, and there's more programs out there and more skills that I need to take.
Now, if you were released, have you identified a halfway house where you would be asking your parole officer to consider for you, sir?
Yes, I have written a couple of halfway houses, and I'm waiting on their response. TLC knows I've written them, and I know that they will respond and accept me.
Okay, sir. Okay, I'm going to see if my colleague, Mr. Neal, might have some questions for you at this time, sir.
No, I don't believe so, sir.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Neal. Okay, back to you, Mr. Espinosa. We're coming towards the end of your hearing, but we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination, its decision. So anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Well, I take responsibility why I'm in here. I know it's no one's fault except mine. I was working hard out there, and I still have goals, and I'm still optimistic. Even when I'm released, or where, and I want a future for myself besides this place. I want help. I don't want to be a statistic of the system, and I'm capable of a lot of things, a lot of good things. And for my kids. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And before we go into discussion, how many kids do you have, sir?
I got three. That are currently in CPS.
Okay.
I'm working with CPS to regain custody of them.
Thank you, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. And following this discussion, the board will make a determination whether to continue your community supervision or to revoke your community supervision. We act independent, and we act upon the policies of the open meeting law, so please stay on the phone, listen, and we'll be back to you very shortly with the decision of the board. I find Mr. Espinosa to be a very interesting young man. He's 29 years of age. Counted it correct. He's one who is getting on the right track. He's had, over the years, he's had a number of challenges, in as much as he pointed out himself that he grew up in CPS, and unfortunately his kids now are in CPS. It's just been a cycle that he has been involved in. He admits himself that back when the initial offense took place in 2012, which has nothing to do with what the allegation, but his two robberies that took place back then, he was using drugs and was using alcohol, but he complains now that he's a new person, that he's a different person. I want to believe him, but I do feel that at this time he really needs to have a little more time to reflect, to remain clean, and so that when he gets out, he can be that person that he wants to be, because I know his kids need him. I know that, I recognize that with, you know, being in CPS, and he can be, he can help them because he's been there himself. But before we go further, I'm going to ask my colleague, Mr. Neal, do you have anything that you would like to add at this time, sir?
No.
Part of the discussion.
I agree with you, sir.
Okay, sir. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion and see where it goes, and my motion is going to be to find that Mr. Espinosa did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, in as much as he just did not adjust for whatever reason to community supervision, and that's very important when one is out there, and that he did not complete the CAP program, although he was in the program. He says it was because it was just a life of one time that the books did not show up, but I mean he had the book but it was not with him that particular day, and that kept him from completing that program. Therefore, I'm going to move to revoke his community supervision based upon that, as well as the information contained in warrant number 2017W3698, as well as information coming provided to the board by the Department of Corrections, and that is my motion.
Second.
Okay, thank you. On the determination of the board, your community supervision has been revoked. But please, sir, don't look at this as being a negative. We really want to see you be successful. And we know, I know, I feel it deep down inside that you can be successful. It's going to take some time for you to get adjusted. I know being in the criminal justice system these many years, it's taken some time. And also if you're being in the CPS system, but just relax. Put together a plan so when you get out, you won't be on, based on what we know at this particular time, you want to have a parole officer to report to. You'll be on your own, sir, and you can work with your kids and your family to truly move forward. Sir, this is your hearing. You will be released about October 16, 2018. Sir, this will end your hearing. Thank you for your participation, sir. Please get a phone to the CO3. Yes, sir.